Hi, I'm Ella Sean, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest. Have you ever heard the saying, "You can't fight what you don't understand"? Ever thought about what it really means? Now, let me ask you this. Have you considered how very little you understand about yourself and the people you surround yourself with? No? We'll talk about it. Hello, my enchanted beast. How are you guys doing? Thanks so much for coming back and for joining me in the Enchanted Forest. So, this is week two of our Elevation series. We're moving on up. God, I'm such a dork. I totally was getting ready to start singing the Jeffersons theme song. Oh, okay. All right, it's all right, right? Anyway, really, we are moving on up to level two, which is understanding. Now, the concept is really simple. When we listen, right, when we create listening art, then we begin to understand those we listen to, right? But really, what is understanding? According to Merriam-Webster, yes, this is probably a word nerd girl time. It snuck up on me. Anyway, according to Merriam-Webster, understanding is friendly or harmonious relationship, an agreement of opinion or feeling, adjustment of differences. So, of course, word nerd girl here had to go over to thesaurus.com and look up some synonyms, right? So some synonyms for the word understanding are, like a pact, compassionate, benevolent, merciful, gracious, loving, agreement, acceptance. And remember last week we talked about acceptance being a synonym for sacrifice, and sacrifice was what boosted up all of those tools, right? So these are some of the synonyms that I was able to pull from thesaurus.com. Now, you know, there's a butt ton more, so feel free to go find your own. But I kind of like these, right? A pact, compassionate, benevolent, merciful, gracious, loving, agreement, and acceptance, right? Okay. But still, what does understanding have to do with elevating the collective unconscious to a collective state of consciousness? Let's do a quick recap of level one for those who may be tuning in to this week's podcast and hadn't had an opportunity to listen to last week's podcast. And for those of you who tuned in last week, but may need a quick, reminder, right? So last week we talked about your artist toolbox, right? And because art or listening is an art form is where we were going with that. So you received your artist toolbox and a few key tools. Sound familiar? Okay. Remember, we had the tools of patience and discernment, presence or respect, and of course the third eye. And then we talked about how we were able to elevate the power of our tools through sacrifice or acceptance, right? Sacrifice of our talents for paying attention to other people, a sacrifice of our ego for a, this is the soul, right? For our enchanted beast to take precedent, and of course, the sacrifice of I for we, right? And you know, that's what we talked about. So this is how we can create listening art. Now, we have to add some more tools to our toolbox, because understanding is a product of what listening causes, right? We understand only when and if we create this listening art. If we listen with patience and if we use our discernment and if we respectfully listen, we are present in the moment of conversation. If we are using the third eye and we elevate through sacrifice, then we have art. And now we're gaining understanding. Okay? So, just a really quick caveat before I get into this. There can be no understanding if the art of listening has not occurred. Okay? Now, we have several new tools to use, which I think is freaking awesome, because who doesn't like getting new paintbrushes and new colored pencils? And if you are a Bujo person like myself, right, I can't get enough liners and markers and colored pencils and washi tape. So who doesn't like getting new tools in their artist box? These tools are monumental, and they are so very effective when utilized correctly. So the first new tool I want to add to your toolbox is the law of correspondence. What? Ella, are you talking about? We all have heard of the universal laws. There are seven universal laws, right? The law of attraction is not one of them. The law of attraction is kind of like a sub-law under a universal law. But there are seven universal laws. Three of them are immutable. What does immutable mean? Well, simply put, they are absolute. They were laws before we were. They are laws now that we are, and they will be laws when we are no more. They are absolute universal laws that are the foundation of all life forms. Okay? If we have to think about these three immutable laws in reference to what this series is about, then we can say that the first three universal laws create the basin in which collective unconsciousness resides. Cool? So, of course, these are going to be tools that we need. Okay? And the first of that law, the very first universal law, which is immutable, well, actually, it's the second one. We're not going to deal with the first one yet. The second immutable universal law is called the law of correspondence. And this is so amazing, because what it means is harmony, agreement, and correspondence. Do these words sound familiar to you? Of course they do, because that's how understanding is defined for us, right? Understanding is defined as harmonious relationship, an agreement. This whole idea of correspondence back and forth between the physical, mental, and spiritual realms, that's the law. The law says that there has to be harmony, agreement, and correspondence between the physical, mental, and spiritual realms. I like it. I like it. This law is going to really, really help us understand the people we are now making listening art with, right? There's an epitaph. I think it's Greek or Roman. One of those ancient places, right? Know thyself, and thou shalt know all the gods and mysteries of the universe. My man, Ralph Waldo Emerson, whom, you know, I've had a hard on for forever. Know thyself. Trust thyself. It's in every major philosophy, every major religion. You have to know yourself. Understand yourself. And there are no gods that you can't understand. There are no mysteries in this universe that won't make sense to you. But first, understanding starts with self. So, how well do you know yourself? What are you talking to yourself about? What do you say about yourself to you, right? Do you sit down in your own private counsel? Do you listen to yourself when you're talking with others? Considering we are all sharing the collective unconscious, right? It would make sense that knowledge of self means knowledge of everyone else. We must first endeavor to truly know who we are, inside, outside, and throughout, before we can endeavor to truly understand other people. Okay, Ella, that's fine. If we have to understand ourselves, then why didn't we start with listening to ourselves? Well, you create art with you first. Charity starts at home. Love starts at home. Are you listening to yourself? What is your self-chatter? What is your internal monologue saying? Right? I'm going to be honest with you. Most of us refuse to really know and understand ourselves completely. Because why in the hell would we want to truly know ourselves? Inside and out. All throughout, why would we want that? Okay, Beast, here's the deal. I challenge anyone who's listening to this podcast, when you get home or wherever you can go where you have a private moment and a full-length mirror, I challenge you to get butt naked in front of the mirror. Take your makeup off. Take your nice clothes off. Remove that Spanx. Nope. Get the push-up bra gone. I'm talking butt naked. No concealer, no lotion, no fancy body oils, nothing that's going to make it smooth. Nothing. Just you. Just you. If you have access to a 360-degree mirror and you're not in public, that'd be great too. But if not, then just a full-length mirror is fine. But I really want you to just stare at every aspect of your physical being, every part of you that you are able to see with your physical eyes, every part of you that you can touch with your hands, every part of you that you can smell with your nose, taste with your tongue, hear with your ear. Look at it, smell it, taste it, feel it, listen to it. Now, are you ready to acknowledge everything you see and hear and taste and smell and feel on your physical body? Are you ready to acknowledge that? That's pretty hard, right? That's a hard pill to swallow. It's hard to look at yourself butt ass naked, seeing everything, every scar, every imperfection, the not so pleasant smells that may come from parts of us, the things that don't feel good when we touch them, but they're still there, right? Some of the weird sounds our bodies make every day. We're hearing them and praying that nobody else does. It's hard to look at it. Breasts that used to be perky and beautiful with nice high tight nipples. Not so tight, not so high, not so perky anymore. Flat taut bellies gone. And you're left with a spare tire or maybe a bunch of extra skin because you lost weight. Yes, that's me. Bunches and bunches of extra skin because I've lost a butt ton of weight. Or maybe there's scars from surgeries or accidents or abuse, burns, cuts, nicks, scrapes, stretch marks from having babies. I had three. I have stretch marks on top of stretch marks. Scars from surgeries. Too many. I can't name them. My breasts are atrocious. I nursed three children. And after I lost all the weight, they became pancakes. I'm working on it, right? I'm lifting weights. But still, that's what I have. Three C-sections leave you with this little flap because you can't ever tighten that part up again. The fissures are torn. I've had three C-sections. Right? I mean, we're taking a long, hard look at the physical. I have dark circles under my eyes because I have narcolepsy with cataplexy and I never really get enough rest. So they always look a little bit tired. I'm taking a long, hard look at myself in the mirror. Not right now. I'm truly not butt-ass naked in the mirror now. Because that would be weird, me doing a podcast naked. But I'm telling you, I've done it. I've looked at me physically. My stomach makes the most amazing noises every day, all day, because it takes me 1,000 years to digest anything. And after a long day, I don't smell as fresh as I did when I woke up that morning. Because life happens, right? I'm always secreting something. We are women. We are always losing moisture somewhere, right? Speaking of moisture and somewhere, when's the last time you took a good long look at your hoo-ha? Ever wonder what all the fuss is about? Me, I'm kind of a landing strip girl. I like everything smooth as much as possible, but a little bit of strip of hair there just because you need something to catch and prevent bacteria. So, yeah, that's me taking a look in the mirror, right? But it's hard to acknowledge that all of these imperfections are truly a part of me. It's hard because who wants to be imperfect? Who wants to acknowledge that there are things about them physically that are not necessarily appealing? No one. But you know what's even more difficult? Taking a look inside and realizing you're not as wonderful as you thought you were or you pretend to be. You'd be more apt to say, yeah, I need to lose a few pounds, or I definitely need to tone up some, or I need to get some blemishing cream because I have a few pop marks. Or yeah, we are real. It's easy to say I can, because you can fix physical. Like I can go get some boob implants and get that taken care of. I can get this extra skin taken away and have a tummy tuck and I'm good and tight again. I can get liposuction for anything that I don't want. There's a physical cure for anything physical that we don't want. I don't like these dark circles. I can have them laserly removed. Like literally, I can get a brand new physical body. Hell, every 10 years, we get a brand new liver because the body regenerates. So yes, physically, it's hard to acknowledge the imperfections. But you kind of know you can do something about it, right? Because it's just physical. But that internal look, you look deep inside yourself and realize, oh, they were not calling me a bitch because they were jealous of me. They were calling me a bitch because I am one. Oh, my husband didn't walk out on me because he's a coward. No, he walked out on me because I'm selfish and egotistical. My best friend didn't stop being my best friend because she wanted what I had. She was envious of me. No, she stopped being my best friend because I was not supportive and I made her feel less than she was. I took her for granted. Can you do that? Can you look deep inside yourself and acknowledge that you're not all good all the time? I mean, you're not all bad all the time, but that's the thing, right? We have to look and recognize who we are, really, who we are. Get an understanding of it. What about that look into your enchanted beast eyes? You're looking at her, she's looking at you, and you realize you don't recognize her. You don't have that connection. But I go to church every Sunday. I'm in mosque. I'm in synagogue. I'm in, you know, I'm at temple. I'm doing. But when you are faced with your own divine nature, you don't recognize it. You're not connected to it. You realize that you are a human being having spiritual experiences every now and again, but it's not enough, right? Because your beast is looking at you now and saying, you don't remember me? That's a problem. Can you really face the fact that you've been living your entire life as a human when you have always been divine? Can you face that? Can you honor that? Really? When we take time to actually understand ourselves, really and truly understand ourselves, there is a power in that knowledge. When we truly listen to who we are, what we are, where we are, when we are present in our own lives, in our own minds and emotions and spirit, when we truly endeavor to understand ourselves, it is freedom. There is a freedom in that knowledge. There's no need to lie about anything anymore. When you have a clear understanding of who you are, we're not lying anymore. Not to try and make ourselves feel good, not to try and make others feel bad, not to try and build ourselves up. No, there is no need to lie because we know exactly who we are, what we're capable of, what we're not capable of, and we acknowledge and accept it without judgment. It just is. This is who I am. There is no need for us to be judgmental with other people because we're not judging ourselves anymore. We're not constantly in a state of criticizing everything about us because we have taken the time to truly understand who and what we are, why we are. So we're not judgmental anymore. We don't see people and put them into, oh, he's good, he's bad, she's right, she's wrong. No. We're not judgmental anymore. We are just able to honestly see people as what they are, whatever it is. No judgment, just acknowledgement, because that is what we are able to do for ourselves, right? And here's the probably most profound and important result of taking time to truly know yourself and understand yourself. You lose the fear. You're no longer afraid to interact with any and everyone because you know yourself. You know what you're capable of. You know the most important thing that I really am we. We are all connected. We are all a collective soul. So there is no I, it's just we. And you lose that fear of the other. I'll talk about that a little bit later in this podcast, but you lose the fear of the other when you truly know yourself. So now my fear is not going to keep me from really listening, really creating this beautiful listening art with someone who is 100% different from me. Because at the end of the day, we're not that different, right? We might be vibrating on different frequencies, but we're not that different at all. And I'm going to get to that. So yes, the first step on level two, understanding, is to work hard to truly understand yourself. To truly know yourself, to be in tune with you, to empower that law of correspondence so that who you are as a physical person, who you are as a mental, emotional person, and who you are as a spiritual person are in agreement. The law of correspondence. Once this has happened, once you have applied this universal law to yourself and you truly understand all of you, now it's time to go about the work of our enchanted beast. We have to create this level of conscious understanding. We have to elevate this conscious understanding to the masses, right? First thing first. We have to learn how to listen, right? We've already talked about that. We have to learn how to listen and how to truly grab hold of what it is that our bodies, all of the bodies, are telling us. So I would be remiss if I did not take this time to, by example, share with you my experience with knowing me. When we consider the physical body, the ego, the you that separates everybody from yourself, right? It moves in fear. The you I ask you to go take a butt naked look at in the mirror. I did that. And here's kind of what I got, right? I jotted down some notes. And this is my honesty. And I've talked about it a little bit, right? Saggy boobs. I lost a lot of weight. So I do have a shit ton of extra skin in my midsection. I have stretch marks from 3 pregnancies. Scars from 1,000 surgeries all over my body. I told you about my hoo-ha because I love a good manicured hoo-ha. I don't like all that hair. And some people are naturalists and they're just like, oh, give it. No, that's not me. But anywho, I digress. My inner thighs are a little jiggly, right? But they don't touch each other. I mean, they do kind of touch because I'm a woman. I don't have a baby gap thigh. They touch, but they're not like, ooh, thunder thighs or anything. But they do. They have a little jiggly because mostly it's extra skin. It's so weird. I don't understand. But anywho, I love looking at my ink. I have a lot of tattoos. 7 down my back. I have 1 on my clavicle. I have 1 on my upper left arm, 1 on my left wrist. I have 1 on my right forearm and a huge Hamsa hand on my right shoulder. And I love looking at my ink. I just think it's so incredibly sexy. So I'm in love with that. But honestly, most of me bears, you know, scars or marks or some type of imperfection. I have a couple of scars from when I was first diagnosed with lupus and I broke out in all these lesions. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? Right? I have a lot of imperfections to my physical body. And I honestly used to be ashamed of them until I realized how everyone of them tells the story of my life, of the life that I've lived. You know, as a writer, like when I'm writing and something significant happens to my characters, or like if one of them gets a blemish, right, or a scar or a shot or something, right, then I have to write that down in my author's notes so that I can keep everything in line, so that, you know, if I said that someone was injured in their right hip, then I don't go back and say she limped on her left leg because of a hip injury, right? So it wouldn't be congruent. So I have to write these notes down to keep track of what's happening in the lives of my characters and my romance novels. That's what all of these imperfections, right? That's kind of what they are. They are keeping track of all the important shit that's happened in my life, so my mind can focus on more important shit, right? I don't have to think about what happened. It's not something I have to hold in my consciousness. My body records it for me. I like that. I like knowing that my body has recorded what's happening in my life for me. I didn't have to ask it to do it. It just does. And that frees my mind, so that I'm able to pay attention, be present, be respectful when my body decides to communicate with me. Now that's the thing. Are you listening? Are you listening when your body communicates with you? I have a headache. You're too stressed. You need to relax some, your body's telling you. I feel anxious. You're focusing on the future. You need to focus on here and now. I have an upset stomach. You're not eating well and you're not eating the right foods. I have foggy brain. You really aren't getting enough sleep. Cold hands and feet. There's a mineral deficiency there. You need to have that checked out. Listen. Listen without judgment to what your body says to you. It wants to be in harmony with the rest of your existence, right? To do so, the mind and the beast, the mental and the spirit, they have to accept the limitations of the physical body. They have to have compassion for the weakness and frailty of our physical form. When this happens, well, you can accept your physical body as an equally important player in the game. Then you can understand it, right? When you listen with your mind and with your beast, right? The body communicates with us in many ways. When you understand what your body is talking to you about, you're more likely to understand what others' bodies are saying. You know that whole, are you reading my mind? Because I didn't say that. But you're like, no, you didn't have to. It's all over you. You ever have people do that? You're thinking something, but you're not willing to say it. But then they respond to what you're thinking, but not what you said. And you're like, wait, what? Did I say it out loud? And you know you didn't. It's because they understand themselves and their physical space so much that understanding you is easy. Even the shit you're not saying. You're saying it. Your body's saying it. And it's communicating on that level, right? That's understanding. This is how we elevate new awareness. New understanding. This is how we elevate it, beast. Know thyself, and there is nothing you can't comprehend. So once we're able to take full inventory of ourselves and gain true understanding of who and what we are and aren't, then we're more inclined to extend that same understanding to others, right? That's what the law of correspondence says. Know yourself and know everybody else. But let's be real, because I'm nothing if not real. How likely are we to really understand, I don't know, the Ted Bundys of the world, right? How are we to practice compassion for people who kidnap and sex traffic little girls for money, for financial gain? Come on, Ella, you can't ask us to do that. You can't ask us to excuse and accept that, Ella. Can you? No, I would never ask you or myself to excuse or accept any of that or any other deprived activity that the human is capable of doing. No, I'm not asking you to excuse it. I'm not asking you to accept it. I'm asking you to understand it, to seek to understand it. That was a dramatic pause. Because I know right now you're ready to turn off my podcast. Don't. Stay with me. Because here's the truth. Okay? When we are able to understand the very worst as well as the very best of mankind, the awareness, the consciousness that we gain from doing so is imperative to the shift that elevation requires. It's not enough to understand the best of everything, because it's easy to accept the best. It's easy when you have a great ass and a great set of breasts, right? Like, you can accept that. You don't question it. When you were 22 and you didn't have to put on a bra or panties and you still looked amazing in your clothes, you didn't question that. But at 42, when you need to have a bra, panties, support hose, Spanx, and a waist trainer for that dress to look decent on you, well, now you want to question, why? No. We have to understand the worst and the best if we are to elevate consciousness, right? I'm going to give you another tool. It'll make it easier, I promise. I'm going to give you the tool. It's called the Law of Polarity. Now, this is the fourth law, the fourth universal law, and it's the first of the mutable ones, okay? Remember, immutable laws are absolute. They will never change. They are what they are, right? Mutable laws, however, there's some fluidity there. They are laws, but they can be transcended. You can find a way around them, or you can find a way to use them to get to where you want to be. So these laws are a little more fluid, right? It's like a paint thinner in your artist toolkit. You can take a very thick acrylic paint, douse a little paint thinner in it, and now maybe it'll act like watercolor, but go on like acrylic. Ooh, nice. You see? So let me give you this, this tool, this mutable law, the law of polarity. Simply stated, it says that everything has an opposite. Everything has an opposite. And although opposite implies differences, in reality, poles are really the same thing, just in varying degrees. What? Okay, yes, it's going to sound like physics, but stay with me because you need to know this. We assume that hot and cold are opposite. Love and hate are opposite. Deep and shallow, opposite. But no, really, they're just operating at different frequencies, different degrees of themselves, right? So if I have love at 0 and hate at 10, if I push my hate down to about a 5 and push my love up to a 5, what do we have? Right? That's how it works. Everything has an opposite on the spectrum, and it just depends on what frequency you're operating at as to how you're going to interpret that thing. Okay, stay with me. I know I keep saying stay with me because I know it's a little hokey, but stay with me. In order for me to move forward, I'm going to give you one more tool, and this is our final tool for today. And this is another law. It's the last law, the last immutable law in universal laws. It's called the law of vibration. It's absolute. Okay, so it doesn't go anywhere. And simply stated, everything is moving. Everything is in motion. Nothing is sitting still. Even the stuff that looks like it's sitting still is in constant motion. We are all in constant motion. We're moving, vibrating all the time. Okay? So, what does this have to do with anything? Well, when we're looking at polarity, right? We have either or. It's either hot or it's cold. But let us put a little bit of this law of vibration into this idea of polarity. It's either hot or it's cold, or it's vibrating at different frequencies. You understand? So if I'm solid, it's because I am vibrating extremely slowly. I'm not really moving. And I'm packed in so dense that all of me is just vibrating so much that it looks like I'm not moving because I have so much stuff packed in me, right? But let's say I'm more fluid, like water. I have more room to move around and wiggle. So you can see me moving because I have more room to do so, and I'm moving faster. I'm moving at a much faster pace or frequency. And let's say I'm gas, right? I'm moving so fast, you may or may not be able to see me at all because I'm vibrating at such a fast rate. Everything vibrates. Everything is constantly moving. And because it's constantly moving, it depends on how fast it's going as to how your body is going to interpret it, how your physical is going to interpret it. So, back to polarity. We can say, for simplicity's sake, that everything that vibrates at a very high frequency is usually associated with good, warm, happy, positive, rightness, right? It's like, ooh, love. The highest frequency is agape love, that unconditional love. I don't know you. I don't know where you are or who you are, but I love you unconditionally. Anyway, that agape love, that vibrates at the highest frequency, right? That's that soul love, that spiritual love, that's the universal love, agape love. It vibrates at the highest frequency. The I hate you. I don't know who you are. I've never seen you before. I've never spoken to you, but I know that I hate you. Well, that's vibrating at the lowest frequency. And here's the thing. The higher the frequency, the faster the vibration, right? The lower the frequency, the slower the vibration. So we have a violin humming at the bees, and then we have a bass. That's what we're dealing with. Frequencies, just normal old frequencies. But depending on the frequency of the vibration, it's interpreted differently on different levels, right? Now, I know what you're asking. How in the hell is this going to help me understand my neighbor? It's really simple. Are you ready? I had to take a deep breath because I'm super excited. Number one, when we categorize people into good, right, and lovable, and then we also have to categorize others into opposite roles, bad, wrong, and hateable. I don't know if hateable is a word, and I didn't feel like looking it up, but I don't know. I'm going to use it. Okay, hateable. It's the law of polarity, right? Because everything has to have an opposite. So if we categorize ourselves as good and right and lovable, and anybody who has similarities to us, traits, you know, then they're good, right, and lovable, which means that people who aren't like us, right? The other people, well, they have to be bad. They have to be wrong. They have to be hateable. Because that's what the law of polarity says. But the law of polarity is mutable. We can transcend that law and start to see people as people. Start to understand them as just people, right? So that even Ted Bundy, even traffickers, even like drug lords, we are able to transcend this law of polarity using the immutable law of vibration so that we're able to see them as people. Okay, here we go. All right. Whenever we have someone who is other, that automatically separates them from us. And where there is separation, there is no listening. Where there is no listening, there is no understanding, because we have already decided that they are not like us. Therefore, we do not need to understand them because they are apart from us, right? We can say, oh, I would have nothing in common with Ted Bundy. Or I know for a fact that if I ever met a drug lord, I would never have anything in common with him. We can do this all day using the law of polarity. However, it is counterintuitive to the first tool you received. The law of correspondence, agreement. Correspondence between physical, mental, spiritual realms. Like we all are in here together, a la High School Musical, right? We can't separate ourselves. We have to reach an agreement. First thing we have to do is stop being subjective, because that's judgmental, right? So we're not going to subjectively categorize each other as good, bad, right, wrong. Lovable, hateable. I kind of like that word, hateable. It sounds nice. It's fun to say. I want some objective identifiers. Objective identifiers that perhaps resonate on a higher frequency than good and bad, love and hate. We want some higher frequency, some fast vibrating identifiers. So I was online researching because it's what I do. I try and bring you guys, factual information. And I'm going to put a link to this really great article from NOBA, NOBA, and I'll put a link in the description. But it's basically a look at personality traits, and it was they have this acronym called OCEAN. So let's OCEAN these personality types or personality traits, because really that's what we're looking at, right? When we look at how we're going to categorize people, we say, oh, well, this person is rude. That's a personality trait. They're bad, right? So we want to kind of take away all of the subjectivity, and we want to look at an objective way to categorize people. So, OCEAN, openness. The tendency to appreciate new ideas, art, value, feelings, and behaviors. If we really just consider that as, that openness as an identifier for people that we want to understand, that broadens the horizon quite a bit, yes? Conscientiousness. A tendency to be careful, to be on time for appointments, to follow rules, and to be hardworking. Well, again, we have widened our cast. We have more people that we are now willing to understand, right? Extroversion. An extrovert. These are the people who tend to be talkative, sociable. They enjoy others. They also have kind of a dominant style about them. Now we're like really out there because there are a lot of great sociable people out there, right? Agreeableness. I really am not making these words up. This is from NOBA, but I don't know. Agreeableness makes me kind of cringy. But anyway, agreeableness. It's a tendency to agree and go along with others rather than to assert one's own opinion and their choices. Now we have like a whole other set of people that we can endeavor to understand willingly. If we're only looking at these identifiers, neuroticism, tendency to experience lower frequency emotions. I actually changed that out because they had negative emotions and we're not placing judgment on it. It's just a lower frequency. These emotions resonate at lower frequencies. Okay? And the lower frequency emotions, such as anger, worry, sadness, are interpersonally sensitive. So they're very sensitive to other people and what's happening with them. But now we're open because this is just an identifier. Using the law of vibration and tapping in to higher frequency identifiers, to identifiers that vibrate at a higher frequency, we are able to negate the need for polarity. There is no need for opposites of any of this. Now we just have different types of people who tend to do this or tend to do that. people who tend to be shy and reserved, people who tend to be outgoing, and people who tend to, you know, appreciate new things. It doesn't matter, because there's no opposite for any of it. There, we don't need to separate ourselves from the others, because we're all the others, right? Now, we're looking through the higher frequency, and we have eliminated the need for polarity. And so we now have created this ginormous pocket of order, a pocket big enough for us to truly understand our fellow man, woman, beast. That's powerful. We've eliminated what separates us by using these tools. We have overcome the law of polarity using the immutable law of vibrations. And simply by vibrating and tapping into higher frequencies, we're able to see the world in a more objective way. We're able to see each other in a more objective way. We're able to see ourselves in a more objective way. And oh my God, what does that mean, Ella? There is no other. There is no polar opposite. When we seek understanding using the third universal law of vibrations, once you set your physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual frequency to a higher vibration, allocating space for the, you know, the second law of correspondence, where everything is aligned, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual is all in line, vibrating at this much higher frequency, you're able to transcend the fourth universal law of polarity and clearly see yourself and others for what you truly are. And that, my friends, is enchanting. Let me quickly break it down, okay? First, spirit. Second, emotion. Third, mental. Last, physical. But here's why. Are you listening? Okay. We receive conscious information from the physical world, yes? Our physical body takes it in, right, through the five senses, dumps it into our mental body. And our mental bodies interprets the consciousness, right, the information that we've received, and filters out everything that doesn't make sense, that isn't logical, that isn't rational. It filters all that out and passes all that information to the emotional body. The emotional body then receives this non-rational information, the instinctive, the intuitive, right? It filters out all the instinctive and intuitive information, right? And keeps it for itself, passes everything else off to the spirit, because it does not even recognize what's moving on, because it's not conscious. It's not aware that there's even something else to move on, right? That's if you're not operating all at the high frequency, but we are working the law of correspondence. So of course our emotional body knows it's moving on. So it passes it on. And guess who gets it? Hey, Lilith. Your enchanted beast gets it. Your spiritual body gets it. Receives the inconceivable, the unconscious information that was transmutated through the physical, mental, and emotional bodies. Lilith gets mine. I know she does, right? Your spiritual body can get yours too. So Lilith has it. She's processing all this information. She's gaining understanding. And then what does she do? What does she do? She sends it back through the emotional body. The emotional body recognizes all of the instinctive and intuitive information that Lilith has processed from this unconsciousness that was taken in. And the emotional body keeps all the instinctive, intuitive stuff. And then she sends all the rest of it back to the mental body. The mental body says, give me some more logical, rational, sense stuff. I'm hungry. Feed me. The mental body eats what it needs and says, okay, physical, you can have the rest. And then the physical body now has this consciousness, this awareness that maybe I can do something different in this physical space. Maybe I can share this with my friends because I'm sure they don't know it yet. And what has been elevated? The information from the unconscious has now been elevated because why? Because, well, now we know. We understand ourselves. We understand who we are in relationship to everyone else. We understand how we use our artist tools to create more and more new consciousness. This is how we, the enchanted beast, elevate collective consciousness through understanding. Using a few new tools, law of correspondence, law of vibration, and the law of polarity, we are able to truly understand ourselves first, and then our fellow womankind. And then we take that understanding through the elevation process, i.e. the four bodies, right? And create more and more new consciousness. Whew, it's getting deep. I told you guys that this would get deep, right? Next week, we level up to the third floor. Progress. And listen, there can be no progress without discomfort. Trust me on that. Oh, Jesus. All right. That's it. I gave you guys a lot to think about. But, you know, your beast is there for you. Keep connecting with her, okay? And she can help you get through this. Thank you for coming to hang out with me in my enchanted forest. I have truly enjoyed this walk today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen so that you don't miss when my new episodes upload. If you would like to support my herbal tea drinking habit, I honestly drink about 3 or 4 cups of tea during my episodes. Then, you know, if you want to help support my tea drinking habit, buy me a box of tea, please click the link in the description that says support this podcast. It would be greatly appreciated, and my tea stash will grow, and that'll be amazing. Stay up to date with my enchanted life and what's happening with me as a writer, as an entrepreneur, podcaster, blogger. Just stay up to date. Make sure you sign up for my newsletter. I'll leave a link in the description. And you can follow me on my social media accounts. I'll leave a link in the description. Make sure you subscribe to my blog. I'll leave a link. And if you've not purchased my books, I think I have two out there now. The Alms Brise, Broken Souls. It's the first book in a trilogy. The second book will be out sometime this summer. And there's a small novella. It's a sci-fi erotic romance called The Organic Paradox. And it deals a lot with gender roles, and how we are now defining them. So I'll leave a link in the description if you want to mosey over to Amazon and purchase a book. Then that's cool. That's all I have until next week. So I'll remind you, please be brave, be beautiful, and always be enchanting. Goodbye. This has been Ella Shawn with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember, stay enchanted.